this very special retrospective episode of Getting Steamy with John Panini. I, of course, am your host, John Panini. Now, we're here in Bagotsville, Canada, and we fled to the Great North because we had low ticket sales, continued litigation with our old sound guy, Sammy Salami. They canceled shows, and the Canadian Hot Dog, as their tour manager, thought it would be wise to flee north. So right now, we are holed up in a hotel in Bagotsville, Canada, in the province of Quebec. So we're here hanging out, talking about how we all got started, how we all met. So right now, we're sticking straight into our first segment, Panini's Press.
Panini's Press!
Here with me in Panini's Press is our good friend, Phyllis Poutine. So Phyllis, how are you tonight?
Delicious.
Yes, you are. Poutine is one of my favorite orifices to eat. All right, so Phyllis, go ahead and tell us about the story about when you first met at a local retirement home in the Midwest.
Well, I think it's more of an open forum of, you know, how all of us, how everyone here, how we all met, you know, and it all started way back when we were knee-high to a grasshopper. We were all in high school, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because Ruben here and I, we used to go to lunch. We went to the same school, and we would drive past, you know, you, John, and some other friends, and you used to bite the tip of a corn dog off.
I'll get to that in a later segment.
Well, this is a story about how we met.
True. So, right now, we're sticking into a
Panini to go.
Dig up!
Take it away, John!
So now we're in Panini to go, where I, John Panini, met my good friend, Phyllis Poutine. Back in the day, when I was in early high school, I would go and my father would pack me a corn dog each and every day. So he would defrost it the night before, and every morning he would cook it in the toaster oven.
Was it in salt water? He defrosted in salt water, or was it just regular water?
It was the salt water.
That a boy.
Not proud of that, but yes, it was. So each day, it would just, as it turned out, when I was 25, I looked back, and I realized that our toaster oven had been broken. So it had not been cooking at all. So it had just been defrosting in this brine, if you will, a corn dog brine. So each day, what I would do was I would circumcise it, but I would do what I call, you know, I'm not Jewish. I would do a reverse circumcision. So I'd make the head, the tip, as big as possible. So imagine that you're holding a wine bottle, and imagine that the butt of the wine bottle is another tip. That's what I would do. But I would circumcise the rest. I would cut it off and go again 3 inches in. Yes, you know, the average length of just the head of a penis is 3 inches, just simply the head. And I would gently peel off, and I would also pretend that he was screaming. The rest of the corn dog. And I would stick it, dick up, in the gravel on the way out. So my good friend, Phyllis Poutine, would drive by and tell me your experience. You're half
old. You know, Ruben and I, we'd be driving by, and Ruben had this big truck, this big lifted white Chevy. We'd be driving by, and, you know, we'd see old John Panini out there sticking his corn dog at 12 o'clock, and he would actually be driving. He'd run that fucker over, and I'd be just flipping him the bird. We are on our way to Taco Bell, probably. We to go destroy Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's how we met.
I'm sorry, might I interrupt you, Phil? Or is it Phyllis?
Phyllis.
Phallus.
I'm sorry.
Phyllis.
I'm sorry, Phallus. Is this a traditional custom in America? Is that you set up corn dogs and you drive over them?
Well, it's kind of like a royal dog, but without the sauce, or what you call it?
Foreskin.
I love foreskin. So anyways, how did we all meet at that small village? A Canadian, he came in, and Ruben, and old John Paul over here, or John Panini.
I was on the foreign exchange student program, but I mean, I was just from Canada. It should be called the neighboring student exchange program,
neighboring
not
program.
Foreign.
I think that's what we called it.
Oh,
Yeah, we eschewed the rules.
Well, this is a podcast about how we all met, how the gang got together.
It is a retrospective, you're right.
So who was that guy? What was that guy's name, our boss? The guy with the glasses.
Racy Truss.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Because he's talking about how he'd race people and stuff. He was our boss. But I remember that. Well, you weren't there yet, though, right?
I was not there.
So
who started first?
I think he's thinking of 1980.
Well, I was not there, but I remember Racy Truss would race all the co-workers to orgasm, and he would win every time.
Well, who met first? Who was there first? I was there.
You were there. And then I believe...
Ruben
was there, and so Tony Baloney was there as well.
Tony Baloney.
And the Canadian hot dog
was
there.
And the hot dog.
And so was Sonny Carranza.
Yeah, I remember Sonny.
That poor Seth. And then later on, John Panini took over.
Yeah.
Lox Fox was there a little before John Panini was. Yeah. And then Steve Seafood was there. Steve Seafood was there. A little bit ahead of John Panini, as was Lox Fox. So we all had a grand time. And then Filet Mignon, who I will be interviewing very soon in South Korea, was there as well. And he worked there for about 3 years until he was suddenly removed from the schedule.
We almost got in a fight when we first met.
I heard about that. So go ahead and explain the story.
Well, I don't even remember. Like, he came in and... who was it? Old...
Well, when you're the king of the meats, it's really hard to just... Just give other people respect.
It was tough because
Tony Bologna.
There we go. And it was just kind of funny because he'd come in and I'd pick on him. And I remember,
what the fuck is his name, Christian?
Oh, Filet Mignon? Filet, he stood up to me and I just wasn't going to have it.
I
and
feel
I,
like it's soul.
Filet
of soul.
Filet of soul.
He was.
So yeah.
Before he became the man, he was the
filet
of soul,
rather
than the filet.
Tony Baloney.
Tony Baloney.
Someone did it.
So bad. Tony Baloney used to always be. He was so. Remember that time,
Tony Baloney.
So we were Tony Baloney. Okay. So a side note. We used to always pick on Tony Baloney every time we all of us get together.
Well, yeah, because Baloney has that shit inside.
Remember he was getting that foot job that one time outside the park? Canadian hot dog had this badass blazer. All right, we pulled up.
Full of Canadian ham.
Oh, yeah. And
thank you.
Tommy Baloney, he was sitting there getting an FJ or a foot job.
In the parking lot.
We wanted to give him
a level one move because he's an amateur.
So we pulled up alongside this guy and we blocked him in and we were throwing flour and then a fish and then some more flour and some batter. And we were laughing and we took off.
We called it Canadian fish and chips.
Yeah. And he got out. I remember this is when they had CDs, kids, or compact discs. And he got out.
Canadian discs. I remember
that girl. What was her name? Tara?
Really close to
A-Tracks. Telling
point.
Us to F off.
If there was a real
timeline,
this
Tommy Bologna,
like,
he was throwing CDs at us. It was a great time.
I think what you meant is A-Tracks, because this was back in the early 80s.
She yelled, I just remember she yelled, fuck off! And then we got Phyllis Potan over here yelling, I love you!
Anyways, could I tell you a funny story about Sonny Carranza?
Yes, you can!
Please do.
I know we just mentioned him in the early part of it, but, you know, he got fired one day, and it was when I was very new, and I saw the whole thing go down. It was just really strange because, you know, Sonny Carranza, he's a nice guy. He wants the best for people, but during... When we were doing our job, we would serve on the Sabbath. Anyways, there was an older gentleman, and his name was we called him Wolfgang.
Is he the porn star Wolfgang? Fuck.
No, he was an old man that wanted to eat at the buffet that we set up.
Hey, he wanted to eat a lot of pussy too.
Who used to sit in there? Ate all the Sundays.
Al. Big Al.
He was a former CIA operative that...
That big dude?
I believe every one of us had caught stealing bananas.
Oh, yeah.
Bananas.
In pajamas.
He would keister bananas, cookies, melons.
I'm pretty sure he was making... what do they call that? The booze that they make in prison.
Pruno.
Toilet wine. Yes.
Banana wine.
So anyways, go on.
He's probably selling about 5 gallons a week.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Anyways, so Mr. Sunny, he was a great worker too. I don't know why he lost his job. But anyways, he noticed one day Wolfgang was moving down the buffet line, and he looked at his rear, and he saw a piece of lettuce stuck to the back of his pants. Sonny, being the nice man he is, decided to go up and talk to him and try and get him to shake it off his bum.
Do you think he was singing Shake It Off?
He might have been singing Shake It Off. He was trying to talk to Mr. Wolfgang, but Mr. Wolfgang was very excited about the new corn chowder that was brand new on the line. And so, eventually...
Oh, yeah, that's what I was doing last time.
To prepare him and to excuse him from embarrassment,
Sonny
reached out and he patted the piece of lettuce off of his rear end. So the first thing he does is Mr. Wolfgang turns around and goes, "You little queer." And then Sonny, next thing I know, is he was taken away by our management, and he was never to be seen again.
Was Racy Tross involved?
He sat down with Racy Tross in his office.
Very good chance Racy Tross raped him.
No,
because it was about a 2.5-hour meeting, and then we never saw Sonny again. He left, and then I think he filed sexual harassment charges, but I don't know.
For a week after
that was it.
Now I remember my first meeting with Racy Tross, and I got called into his office. Because they ate a lot of mustard.
You get called into his orifice.
I just like to call his office the orifice. I had
that
to sign a non-disclosure agreement because I did file litigation. Basically, when I walked into his office, I can't say I walked in and he made eye contact. And I looked at his lips, which were covered in crimson lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked down, he had 8-inch heels on. And he looked at my crotch area, and he said, "You guys know the line. Let's say it on three.
So you blow me if I jerk you off."
What's
going
on
with that?
That's right. Phil is Poutine. You have something to interject.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we haven't talked about Mrs. Tiz or...
Harbra the harlot.
Yeah. So
those are coming.
Mrs. Tiz, she used to rub her backs. She was a big woman too. Because I used to walk by her car and she had razors on the dash, like shaving razors and stuff.
Well, she had a beard. She was trying to take care of.
I remember her saying that she would shave in the morning with Mr.
With male, that male guy named Tail.
No.
Kind of rhymes with Dale.
I remember talking to Tiz in the morning, and she told me that in the morning she would shave with her husband, but instead of shaving her cunt, she would shave her beard.
And her cunt.
No.
Like,
she had she's miracle girl.
She said she shaved her bunt.
Yikes.
And you know what? She compared her clit to a
Eiffel Tower.
No, what's a? She called clit. Dit, redwood. Canadian hot dog. What did she call her clit?
She called it clit, boom.
I never quite got the analogy, but sitting back now, I see a vivid image of when she walked into the walk-in wearing her skirt, popping out in front of me. Wasn't that a P.O.D. song?
Yes, I believe. I'm more familiar with the Toronto bands than the Canadian bands.
What's your favorite? What are your top 10 Canadian bands?
Bryan Adams.
Rush.
Arcade Fire.
Who's that? That must have been after my time.
The Biebs.
God damn it. God damn it's a good band.
Alanis Morissette.
No, these were all after my times.
Avril Lavigne.
Sum 41.
No.
Flying Blind.
Clittlebat.
There's not really a name before that.
Clit, boom.
So we've talked about Tony Baloney. We've talked about Tara Sugars. We've talked about Racy Tross.
I'm sorry, John. Can I interrupt? Can I tell the viewers about how I first met you?
Please do.
So one of my favorite stories... from the place we used to work
what
was
fucking story is this?
The very first time I witnessed, it was one employee, he threw water and soap on the ground, and then he took off running, and he slid as fast as he could, swinging a knife towards Mr. Tony Baloney, and he was trying to stab him, and then...
Racy Tross came out.
Tony Baloney went to Racy Tross, and he told him about it, and Mr. Racy Tross said, "Was he think he's Peter Pan?"
Oh.
And that was Mr. Tony Baloney. That was an amazing time.
One major character we've not talked about yet. Mr. Hef Crown. I remember Mr. Hef Crown would drive up every day on his 2005 Ninja.
Really? That time he pushed it.
Oh, it was not a Ninja. It was an Indian classic motorcycle.
Canadian American.
He fucking pushed to work. Remember that time?
It definitely was a Canadian motorcycle. We have not perfected those machines
true.
Yet.
So one time, myself and Cream Puff decided.
All three of you.
Decided to make a new license.
Me, myself, and Cream Puff.
So myself and Cream Puff decided to modify Hef Crown's license plate, and we changed it to "I Love Men." And then so Hef Crown drove about 37 miles on his hog, revving it up at stoplights, and people are honking and cheering, and he didn't know why, but he's very enthused.
Yes, he was.
Only
he was
to find out that it said "I Love Men" on his license plate.
Hey, have we discussed Trudy Long?
Trudy Long, Tilo.
Tilo,
yeah.
No.
Call her Mrs. Wednesday.
So this gal, hey, so she would only hire people, persons that were a little less intelligent than her, which was
tough to find.
Tough to find.
Really tough.
She was definitely able to find them.
We were understaffed for about 6 years.
Yeah. So we have a Pomeranian that is certifiably retarded, and she's smarter than most of the people that Trudy Long hired. So, where do we start with her?
I remember she was printing out the menu.
I remember she used to bring her husband in for dinner after the establishment would close. So the gang and I, we would sit in the break room. We would eat some dinner.
Oh, yeah, his name was Benchley, by the way.
Benchley
Long.
Yes. We would sit there, and he would just show up, and most of the time, he would be shirtless in the car. Then he would come into our break room, and he would eat with us, along with Mr. Tail. Remember Tail? He would sit there by himself. So Tail was maintenance man. And he would never talk to us.
I saw the picture in your amp.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I did.
Tail would never... He didn't work with us, but he would sit in the break room, and he would listen in on conversations, and he would laugh along with us. It was really creepy. But anyways, going back to Trudy,
it's good. Really good. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot. I don't know. Where do we start with her?
Well, I remember, first of all, let's talk about Mr. Bentley Long, because it's kind of ironic, and it feels like a tragic flaw. But it was great. It was really ironic because, although his last name is Long, his life is not long because he was, of course, morbidly obese. But that's my life. Anyway, so we met Trudy Long there, and I remember when I, John Panini, first interviewed for the position. I tried to get that job for nearly an entire year.
John, I just remember your victory day when you got hired, and what happened was you basically were successfully able to seduce
Trudy Long.
And the first thing you tell me is she was a demon in the sack.
She was.
Let's hear about that.
Well, it's funny because you know this is back in the day before the challenge people were able to receive EBT cards. So she fucked like a beast.
Yes.
And, you know, she was a demon in the sack, but a toddler in the library.
But I feel like, since we were so young at the time, she had to have been your first.
Funny you should say that. Because she was my first, second, and third. Holes.
Did you ride your unicycle over to her house?
I rode my unicycle there, plunged all three holes,
Mr. Panini,
and then skipped out.
Are you saying she was your first?
She was.
Oh, this is a very important girl.
Yeah,
you think we could get her on the phone?
Oh.
I think she's dead.
No,
no, there's no way.
No.
There's no way.
Oh,
well, I guess that was 30 years ago.
So now she's probably retired at the retirement home, but we could probably look her up.
No, she got fired because she was illiterate.
Guest calling on the show?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the name of Tiss. Who works at Mayfway?
There's extreme hula hooping, Hawaii, Dubai, Jimmy Jameson representing US as 1/4 base. Next, there's a ram rodeo in New Alaska. Ram named Elmo was tickled into submission. Everyone was excited.
This has been Sports Talk with a Canadian hot dog. I know you're not in show business, but talking to the fucking mic.
Well, what about that time when we had the Super Bowl party and, you know, John had to start the weed whacker and he almost took off Box Fox's face. Remember that?
Yes.
I do.
A very cherished member.
Well,
let's tell
the audience about this experience. Okay.
So we were there. We had a good, it was in Canada, and we were several Labatt Blues deep.
Canada.
And we were, you know, we were all wearing buttons for the Canadian Hot Dogs campaign mine for the Dog Catcher of the Year Award.
Inauguration.
So we were all there. And in a celebratory bliss, because we all thought he was going to win, and he still will, I, John Panini, decided to yank it a few times. The weed whacker, not my penis, and started up. And I was running around in a celebratory run and almost hit our good friend Lox Fox in the face, which I'm glad it did not, but accidents do happen sometimes.